This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, buddy boy. How are you?
Doing all right. See you standing in the studio. Got the microphone, got the headphones. It's coming together.
There's a lot of shit that's been going on behind me, but nothing in here. I think I may just probably keep this as my office setup because I'm in my shorts and my shoes, and I really don't give a shit. I care about what's behind me, right? So as long as it's functional, I may just stay this way.
It's a good office setup. I saw you. You know, you got it coming together. You got stuff up on the walls, and it's looking pretty good. And the garage is looking good. Oh, I meant to ask you, did you end up pulling the trigger with a lev rack and putting it in the wash bay?
I'm going to, yes, 100%. I pulled the trigger in that I called them, and I was supposed to call them back and make it happen. And Ryan, I apologize exponentially. I love your shit. But I had to make room, and I had to make sure it was definitely feasible. I did measurements and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I want to advertise their product wholeheartedly. They're great people and great. It's a great product, but man, if it doesn't fit, I just can't put it in there.
Yeah. So
I came to a conclusion that I can make it work. So I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And they're making one for Wanda at the barn too, which again, you know, like Ben Pack, dude, I told you about the fans. They sent the big monster, big puppy.
Cooler.
FX36s or whatever, they're 7 feet tall. And then we put them in the barn and took a couple pictures of the animals because all the alpacas and the llamas like hang out in front of them during the day because it's 190 degrees here. And and Ben Pack freaking, they flipped out. They're like, we never thought about that, right? So
but super smart idea. The animals it's a lifesaver for them.
100%. I mean, it's brilliant. And they're sitting here stationary, a couple of them in the garage. And so why not try to make them work? Right. And then they send me a cool boss, little cooler and just like everything right and left, man. I cannot tell you what an unbelievable freaking sponsor they are. And then in the same vein, Levrack, you know, wants to shove as much things as here in here as possible. And I'm running out of room, man. I need to build a bigger garage.
But, you know, for Wanda, Levrack in the barn's not a bad idea.
That's a terrific idea. And it's a great, and they're already, that's already, you know, part of their sales is, you know, barns and equestrian. Yeah. But Ben Pack, man, I mean, hopefully I opened up a new avenue for him, but.
Right. So when you put the big cooler out there, you can use it as a fan or you can hook up the water line. And so you can fill the tank or just hook up a hose.
Both hooked up the hoses at the barn.
Yeah. Cause I was thinking you must have water out there, like hoses brought out to that area. Yeah. Cause they got to drink water and stuff all the time anyway. And you're not just hauling buckets over there.
No, it's made a huge difference, man. I mean, I can't tell you.
Yeah, I saw Wanda's post about it a while ago, and I was like, that was a super smart idea.
Really? Not just to get another fan, but I mean, you know, animals just love it. And they're great models, right?
I mean, it's not just right. They're out there posing. the animals are posing, and they
unannounced to them.
Yeah. They're going to show up in advertising. I kept talking to Tammy about it here, thinking about putting two of the big ass fans or something, or the Ben Pack coolers.
They're out, they're done. They're in production. I think they're almost ready for sale now. The fans from Ben Pack.
They're fans. Yeah. They're giant roof fans, because I
they're just like the big ass fans, same size dimension. They have I think a smaller size at the same time, but they do, they're monstrous. And so yes,
two I gotta get two, not the biggest ones. I gotta get two up in this area, and it should be enough to do it. And you know, like I've got it on the other side of the cars, which you've seen. I've got the gym area, like we built the gym as well. You know, we've got a, I don't know, maybe 1,000 square foot gym that Tammy and I just come in here and use just to stay alive.
That's perfect. Pop a fan there. I'm going to put two upstairs in the gym, and then two big monsters down here. So,
So a super good idea. And where I work on the cars, I had some friends come over, and had our friends from Volvo came by, and we talked about what's the future of Volvo and their EVs, and they came by for a tour of some of my cars as well. And yeah, where we look at some of the cars and where I work on it, it's like, I definitely need to get some fans and stuff going on in there in the shop. We just don't, and you know, and we can't make a huge investment on the place that I rent potentially, you know, short term. Right. So it's not like we're putting AC in or anything. My neighbors own an air conditioning company, so they actually put AC in, but they own a company. They can do it. And I just need to get some big fans. Cool Boss
is another option.
Yeah. Right?
One of those fans. I'm telling you, the thing throws so much air. One of those would cool that place. It's absolutely amazing, the job that they do.
I mean, it's a pretty,
they're giant. They're obtrusive. Right. But they're on casters, so you can move them anywhere you want.
And it's actually an interesting point putting something like that in, but I don't have a hose hookup here. So I'd have to, like,
you don't need it. I mean,
fill the tank or use it as a fan.
Well, yeah. When you fill the tank, they say it's like 5 to 7 hours, right? Yeah. Of continuous use.
Yeah. That's actually fine.
Fill it every day. Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So both are options. Definitely. Benpack's the way to go.
Anyway, that's garage stuff. Or just shoot the shit about garage stuff, obviously.
This is CarCast, right?
This is CarCast. It's GarageCast. Now it's GarageCast.
It's a little bit of everything.
Of course, the big news in the past like week or so is Toyota Land Cruiser coming back, but coming back at a smaller, more affordable, retro-looking vehicle. It's cool. I like it.
Find anything wrong with what you just said?
You don't? Is that what you're saying?
No, smaller, retro-looking.
Yeah, and more affordable, right? So
those are great things because, you know, at the end of the day, the Land Cruiser, the FJ40, was it?
Land Cruiser... Cool. And that crept up in price. Like, I think we were at like $80,000 base price for that thing. So the new Land Cruiser, that's the 80,
the big station wagon looking, suburban looking thing, the big monster.
Yeah. With the V8 in it. And that, you know, that's where the Land Cruiser grew to be. But now the reboot, this is 4.4 inches narrower, 1.2 inches shorter overall, but which means it's a little more Jeep, a little more Bronco, a little more nimble off-road. And, you know, it starts at about $50,000. And at first I was like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like Bronco and Jeep start at $50,000. So it seemed high, but if you look at Bronco and Jeep lineup, like Bronco's like 36,000 to 80 something thousand by the time you get into Bronco Raptor. So, and you know, and they got some pretty nice trims that are $50,000-$60,000. So I think this does sort of compete in that group.
I think so. I mean, it sounds like it's right at the same price point, pretty much.
If you guys haven't seen it yet, go online, look at the pictures of it. It's got a cool retro style to it. It's a little bit edgier.
It's good looking, man. I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan. I had two of the FJ40s. I think FJ60. I can't remember what that was. They had like station wagons. They were all different kind of iterations of it, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think this is good looking, man.
So you can get it with like the rectangle LED headlights in the front, but the first edition trim has, which I think they call the 1958, has the round headlights. And I kind of like it with the round headlights. And I don't know if you're going to have that as an option, but it's certainly going to be a retrofit for the guys that don't, you know, if you don't get the trim with the rectangle headlights, and I'm sure people are going to go, oh, I want the round headlights. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of swap available for it to make that happen.
This basically looks to me to be along the same lines as what Defender did.
Yeah, kind of what Defender is doing. And it's got kind of you could see some Range Rover look to it as well, you know, some Defender look to it. So the V8 is gone. And now, for now, the only engine option is the iForce Max hybrid drivetrain that we talked about when we were driving the Sequoia the other day. Although this one is the 2.4 liter turbocharged four cylinder with a 48 horsepower electric motor. It's an 8-speed automatic transmission, which is from the Toyota Tacoma. It is 326 horsepower and 465 pound-feet of torque. So not as much as the V8, but in an overall smaller package. Towing is still, towing comes in at 6,000 pounds. Now, the Land Cruiser V8 was 8,100 pounds, but we're still at 6,000 pounds. And it has a battery pack, of course. It's a 1.87 kilowatt nickel metal hydride battery, not a lithium battery, which is a little interesting. I think that's maybe a cost issue than anything else, but I'm guessing it's going to add a little bit of weight. I believe the lithium would be quite a bit lighter. We don't know what the overall fuel economy numbers are going to be yet. They haven't released that. So once we get closer to our release date, we'll get to that. Now, every Land Cruiser comes with a standard four-wheel drive, all-time four-wheel drive. It has center lock differentials, electronically controlled transfer case, both high and low range. It's going to have every bit of the off-road capability that I think you would expect it to have. It has optional rock rails and it has a full battery, you know, skid plates on the battery, and it's got front and rear tow hooks come standard on it, and various trim options with interior from a basic cloth and a smaller display to nice leather trim and a big 12.3 inch display. They all come with wireless CarPlay, wireless Android Auto, all of the stuff that you expect with it, and all of the safety features and auto high beams and lane keep assist and all that stuff. But I don't know. I like it. I think you look at the popularity of Jeep has been for a long time, but it was sort of the dominant player. And then Bronco came in and that became very popular. And I think Ford did a pretty good job of supporting it and supporting it in the aftermarket and the Bronco off rodeo events. And certainly the aftermarket has stepped into Bronco as well. Just look at SEMA last year, imagine this year. But having another player, bringing back a Land Cruiser.
Great for everybody, especially the Land Cruiser enthusiasts that are going to, you know, jump out of their seats just like the Bronco guys did when the Bronco was reiterated.
Right? Yeah, you know, I think one of the differences you're going to see between the Land Cruiser and the Bronco is the Land Cruiser you can get in a nice upgraded trim. If you want leather interior and a little bit different look, a little bit more luxury SUV, a little less utilitarian, I think Land Cruiser is going to provide that for you. Not that there's anything wrong with Bronco or Jeep interior, but I just feel like this is going to feel more.
Well, and on the other side of it, Bronco and Jeep have the ability to go the opposite direction further than Land Cruiser can go. Like, yes, they can be the more minimal vehicle, you know, all day long. So, right. I mean, there's advantage to that too.
You're right. To your point, the minimal version of Bronco and Jeep feels like more of an off-road, easy to clean vehicle. Whereas the minimal version, looking at the photos, the minimal version of the Land Cruiser feels like a rental car. Anyway, so pricing should be in the $50,000 range. I don't know if it's going to be mid 50s or whatever, but I guess as we get closer to the actual release date, we'll see of that. I believe they are scheduled for spring of 24, and the first couple of months will be limited to just the 5,000 units of the first edition model. So if you like that and you want to jump on that bag, when you probably should get your order in pretty soon.
No, hold on. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You can do it over the phone these days.
You see a bunch of the 170s popping up at Brampton. It was online.
I didn't see it yet, but I keep seeing the stuff that you were teasing, and you got the 170 out at your property and it looks good.
Thank you. I'm not doing it for me. It's these other ones I've seen, probably different four or five different iterations of them.
Yeah.
But just sitting amongst other cars that have been, you know, rolled off the production line. I think I saw three or four of them, hideous, sassy grass green. And
so deliveries are happening, right? They're probably going to,
I'm not sure if deliveries are happening. Like I said, I got updates on mine. I don't have an update as far as the delivery date, but I'm sure they're probably right around the corner.
Did they tell you if it was in production yet, or did they give you a production date?
Production date.
Yeah. And then I think when I did my Mach 1, it was roughly 2 months after production date.
They vary. Between what?
Detroit and California.
Receiving it?
Yeah, and receiving it at the dealer. Yeah, because they're... And I tracked it and I talked to Ford, and they were like, here's a production date. It'll be built in a week. And they confirmed that. And then it gets loaded onto a train. And then the train goes from point A to point B, and then it switches trains, and then it goes on a truck, and then
it gets lost. And then you got to figure out the new train. And yeah, I've been there and I've done that. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that process by any means, but you know, tracking Santa Claus coming on NORAD.
It was kind of like that. Yeah. Cause there are some glitches in the process where they're like, well, it's switching trains, which means we have no idea where it is.
No question.
All right. So EVs, Fisker. I like Henrik Fisker. I like talking to the guy.
This new one's ugly. Is that where you're going?
Well, I
guess that's my impression. The first ugly thing I've ever seen from him. Like, truthfully, I hate to get right to it, and okay. I love these guys, but I hope that's what you're going to say, because if not, I really stepped on your
foot. Oh, no. So which vehicle specifically? Because, all right, we'll go through the vehicle. So the Fisker Ocean is his small SUV, not small. It's like whatever, midsize SUV with, 360 mile range or something like that. I saw it at Monterey a year ago, a prototype. Now they're being built. Deliveries are going to start to happen. I think a lot of them are like first edition ones that are like, I don't know, 60 or 70 or 80,000 bucks. But he just did a big press conference and debuted sort of the roadmap of where Fisker's heading. Now, yeah, it's a little optimistic because he hasn't really delivered the first cars yet, although they are in production, and he outsources the production of the Fisker Ocean to, I believe it's Magna, who does the Mercedes G-Wagon overseas. And his thought is Fisker is going to be sort of a design and engineering company, and he's going to outsource the production of his cars to different factories around the world, depending on what market you're selling into and who is able to build them. So that being said, he debuted a few new vehicles.
I'll chime in and say all of them.
Okay, so the Fisker Pear is now the small SUV, which is meant to be a low cost small SUV that you can jam a bunch of people into. I don't know, it's just kind of a fancy,
egg.
No, what was I thinking of? The like the Fiat, you know, the Fiat 500, but then it ballooned up and it kind of became like a four-seater Fiat. And, you know, like it's kind of like a version of that. So the Fisker pair is meant to be cost effective. So he's doing some things here going like, you know, the armrests on the front doors, which are normally different than the rear, are now the same. So he can basically pop like one piece and make it all the same. So he's trying to make things very, very affordable because he's trying to make this an EV SUV at about $30,000. So it's going to be tough to do because we've seen so many EVs like go up in price, go down in price, and manufacturing costs and contracts change and supplier issues change. So it's still a little tough. I think if he would have said this a few years ago and then it didn't happen, people would be pissed. But now the ups and downs of prices have happened so many times with so many different car manufacturers. Like people are like, it's just going to be what it, by time we actually order it and buy it, figure out what the price is. So anyway, he's looking at the pair as a mid 2025 vehicle. He's hoping for about $30,000 before any sort of incentives or discounts, which who knows what those are going to be. The next vehicle is the Fisker Alaska. This is the pickup truck. This is the four-door EV pickup truck. It's not F-150 size. It's not, I don't know. I think it kind of competes with Rivian.
What was the Honda?
The Ridgeline, the Honda Ridgeline.
The smaller Ridgeline.
Yeah, kind of competes with Ridgeline. I forgot the name of, Hyundai has a little four-door pickup truck, but this one is an all EV version. And he did some kind of interesting things. You know, the tailgate folds down and then the mid gate behind the seats of the second row seats, those go down. So you can actually could lay down some, you know, I don't know, 7 foot long, 7.5 foot long, basically. So it's got a 4.5 foot bed that when you lower the mid gate and the tailgate, you get, when you lower the mid gate, you get 7.5 feet. And if you put the tailgate down, you get 9.6 feet of total length from the edge of the tailgate to basically up to the front, to the back of the front seat. So interesting. It's kind of creative. Interesting look to it. Yes, definitely has more of that unibody type of shape to it, like the Ridgeline does, and a little less of the truck shape to it. They're looking at the end of 25 as a release date. The range on the Alaska, depending on the battery, is going to be somewhere between 230 and 340 miles. Anything over 300 is optimistic, by the way, because we don't necessarily have the battery technology unless you can do it with lightweight, good aerodynamics and a large battery, right? And he's saying base price about $45,000. $45,400 is what he's hoping for. But again, these aren't coming out in spring of 24. He's looking at the end of 25. So these are quite a ways out. And then the Fisker Ocean, which he's delivering now, he debuted a version called the Fisker Ocean Force E, the Force E package for the Ocean, which is going to be available soon in Q1 of 24, because it's basically just an off-road package to the Fisker Ocean, which he's already making. You know, it's got the roof rack of the roof basket. It's got some new front and rear bumpers and tow hooks and some skid plates underneath. And it's got 33-inch tires on 20-inch wheels. It's got some additional hand grabs and tie downs and rubber floor mats. And it's actually kind of a cool, tougher version of what the Fisker Ocean is. That thing's kind of badass. Like personally, I could do without the roof rack stuff, but the way he dressed it up with the wheels and the offset stripe and the big E-Force branding on it, look, you know, Force E branding on it.
That's looks definitely a cool one of the bunch.
Kind of cool. And then we get into Ronin. This is where Fisker has a lineup of sub $100,000 vehicles, and he wants to come out with a supercar. I think he's kind of reminiscing on how the Fisker Karma EV never really worked. And that was sort of meant to be a very cool kind of hybrid EV four-door, you know, low, wide four-door, you know, four-seater, kind of super sedan-ish. Like he was showing us.
Don't understate it, man. That car was awesome.
That car was awesome. But before we had, you know, Porsche Taycan and like we had Fisker or Karma, and design wise and the suspension and everything, like all of that was cool as shit. It's just his partner at the time doing the EV drivetrain just never happened. And it didn't work. So now he's sort of, you know, hopefully kind of figured out the flaw in that system. So he's got the Fisker Ronin, which is a four-door hardtop convertible supercar, and it's going to have butterfly doors. I'm assuming the front kind of open forward and the rear's open backward. And the top is a folding carbon fiber hardtop. I'm assuming with some kind of luxury trim with sound deadening and, you know, nice headliner leather, whatever. But he's saying it will be powered by three motors, 1,000 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. And if you can believe all of that, then he said 600 mile range. I was like, nope, I just don't see it happening. Like, I don't know where we are. I don't know what you think is happening. But, you know, solid state batteries and all kinds of like whatever technology you think is going to be by the end of 2025, 600 mile range is going to be a little optimistic and not inexpensive.
It's a headline grabber.
It's $385,000.
Exactly.
And you can start putting down deposits if you can reserve it. But
start helping us build.
When he said 600 mile range, that's when I was like, eh.
That's when the conversation changes.
It just seemed less likely. And, you know, God bless him if he can do it. But there's a lot of other car companies that are looking at that same issue going, we can't do it yet.
I think if he changed the front end onto that thing, it would change it exponentially. But it's,
So the Fisker Ronin is what you were.
Yes. Referring.
What you were. Looting. Hemming and hawing about.
Well, I mean, I just loved the Karma so much.
Yeah.
To see this with the front end, like, I don't know. It's weird. It's, I'm just a little disappointed, but I know you have to make sacrifices, and I just would have wished that they could have carried over a little bit more of what that car was aesthetically.
So the rear doors are almost like they're the size of like half door. And I agree with you on this. I would have liked him to go. I think he's just trying to achieve too many things. Supercar, four door convertible. I'm like, I would have been completely down with a super sedan four door hardtop with a real slick looking rear glass window instead of like the chopped off version that he's got on there.
But there may, you know, there are reasons for that stuff that we don't know about, right? Or were they just choices?
I think his idea of convertible hardtop is his choice right now. So he lives in Orange County, lives in like, I don't know, Newport Beach, and the Fisker Ocean has what he's called California mode, where there's one button and it rolls down all the windows and opens the sunroof and it's wind blowing in your, I think he's on this breezy, beautiful weather, California weather bandwagon. So this idea of convertible hardtop four-door is it kind of fits that theme of what he's thinking. But I think this car would have been cool as shit with a really sleek looking rear window, a little bit larger rear doors, and made a fucking cool four-door hybrid, you know, four-door super sedan, you know, EV.
I think it would have been easier.
I think it would have been. And then I guess, you know, you're competing with Taycan and Audi GT and Lucid, but I don't know, why not? And so still put your Fisker design in it and you know, some of his characteristics. I just don't know that it needed to be convertible hardtop. I think this would have been a sick ass, you know, four-door sedan with more proper rear doors. I think having it as a convertible hardtop is fucking up the rear of the car.
Yeah. It looks homogenized. Looks like a couple different cars were thrown together.
It does look like a couple different cars. There's something about the back window glass with the eyebrow going over it that is just like, isn't this the little Mini Cooper, the one that looks like it's wearing that baseball cap on backwards? You know which one I'm talking about? Like, it's got a little bit of that going on, like it's wearing its baseball cap on backwards. That's kind of what I'm seeing with this car.
Not what I would have expected.
No, and I know Fisker could have done something a little bit better with this, but listen, I mean, we're just going by some images that we see online. Maybe we get to see this car in person at some point at, I don't know, at Pebble Beach or something like that. And maybe when you get up on it, you're like, I was wrong. It's fucking awesome. But there's a few things that I'm seeing in the pictures where I'm not sure. The specs are awesome. Listen, 1,000 horsepower, that quick 0-60. It's just badass.
Well, I mean, it's like the Lucid. I hemmed and hawed about that for a year and a half before I went to Barrett Jackson and saw one. And I thought it was one of the most hideous things I'd ever seen. I did. I mean, it was a plain Jane one. There were no upgrades. I mean, it was just a base model. But it wasn't what I expected, right? So, I mean, who's to say this isn't the opposite of that? So,
I'm starting to see the Lucid roll around on the streets out here. And when I see it in person, my thoughts are the same when I saw it in pictures. I was like, all I can see is the RoboCop, you know, with the helmet down, with the light bar for the eyes. All I see is RoboCop with the Lucid. And I like the idea of what Lucid is trying to do. And I hope they pull it off. Now,
definitely.
Listen, Lucid just posted their second quarter earnings, and it's definitely nothing to brag about. Look, they had $150 million in revenue, almost $151 million in revenue, which is strong. They sold 1,404 vehicles. You know, but there's a lot of cost, a lot of R&D, a lot of ramp up. So, you know, they lost $764 million on $151 million of revenue.
And how many of those vehicles were sold to Barrett to auction? Because they're the vehicle of choice to take all the VIPs around.
Yeah, right. I bet the hotels up in Vegas are all swooping them up. They're kind of having an issue with finding buyers, whether it's price point or some quality issues. You know, they hope to sell almost 2,200 cars. They sold about 1,400 cars. They're working on lowering the price. You know, because it's kind of expensive, but they need to work on the quality issues as well. Now, Lucid, if you remember, is founded by a former Tesla engineer, their chief engineer. So there's a little bit of Tesla influence there, whether it be behind the scenes or you know, a little more forward facing. But you know, and Rivian is the other one that potentially could survive. Lucid potentially could. Rivian potentially could. Excuse me. You know, Rivian was like,
footprint.
You know, they're like, well, you got to get on the list and you got to wait a year. And that wasn't really because of demand. That's supply chain issues, right? Demand is a different thing. So once they started building vehicles, Rivian still has inventory. Lucid has inventory. The stats that are in front of me, Rivian has delivered 90% of the vehicles that it's built. Pretty good number, but they've got some inventory. Lucid has delivered about 64% of the vehicles that they built. Much worse number, right? Especially for a startup company. Now, to be fair, I don't know. There was a headline saying Rivian loses $500,000 per vehicle because somebody did the math and said They have $151 million in revenue. They lost $764 million. So they're losing $500,000 per vehicle. Yes, but all of the startup costs aren't per the vehicle that they sold, right? Like they ramping up a manufacturing plant and technology and staff and business and you know, there's a lot going on there. So the upfront costs are way different than the $500,000 per vehicle loss. I don't think that's a fair number is what I'm saying. Because that's amateurized over far more vehicles than what they've delivered so far. But anyway, I think the next year, I agree with what's being said online over the next 12 to 18 months is sort of the make or break, you know, time for these companies like Rivian and Lucid and several others. But those companies are well funded and sort of at the forefront. I can't say if next year is going to be make or break for Fisker because Fisker hasn't delivered a car yet. You know,
there are a lot of unknowns there.
Yeah. Anyway, before we wrap up, the last thing I wanted to touch on is we know the Porsche Macan is going to be the EV in the lineup is for their SUV. I like the Porsche Macan. I think this last version of it, this most recent version, it's got a weird looking front end. And I don't know, it's just got like a big mouth on it and a lot of black plastic. And it's kind of missing the mark for me. And now we're seeing pictures of the Macan all in black, but without camouflage, without the bras and all that stuff hiding the design of it. And there's some things going on with sensors and stuff in the front end, but I think this is an interesting vehicle because this is the right size, luxury, performance, electric SUV that I think is going to be the difference, you know, for EV sales. This is going to be way more popular than Taycan, right? And this is the car that people are going to lean on versus like a Fisker Ocean. I think the Fisker Ocean is kind of cool, but someone's going to go, do I want Porsche or do I want Fisker? Right. And I think, And if you can get into both of those vehicles at a fairly similar price, you know, 80-ish, I think you're going to go Porsche. Now, Porsche historically has like, you could get into a Macan for $80,000. And if you click through our option list, you'll only be at $127,000 once you get floor
and
mats. And
seconds.
Yeah. It's like, if you want floor mats and paint, you know, like you could add those things. You want tires, that's extra. You know, you want a sound system, it's $9,000. You know, and then of course the quarterly reports come out and they're like, Porsche 911s are some of the most profitable cars out there, 30% margins. It's like, yeah, because that options list is doubles the price of the car.
No question.
You know, where like Fisker Ocean, I think, has like two options. Like you pick a color and a wheel size and that's it. Like
you're missing the boat on aftermarket.
You kind of are. Anyway, I'm actually interested in Porsche Macan. I think that's an interesting vehicle. And if it comes in at 230 mile range, then it's really nothing to brag about. But if it comes in at 280 mile range and it's under $100,000, I would look at that for trading in my Lightning at some point. I mean, I like the truck, but I don't need a big truck.
Yeah, it's in the conversation for sure.
Yeah,
price point and range for sure.
I think I was just out to dinner with Adam Carolla, and he was just like, "Yeah, I'm gonna try EV," and he's like, "I'm gonna lease a vehicle." He's like, "I went to Audi, I went to Genesis, I looked at a few vehicles and." And I'm not sure that he's made a decision yet. I know he likes the Volvo 3-row SUV, the larger one, but that's not out until a year or so for now. So I drove the Genesis and I drove the Audi Q8 e-tron, not the little one, the Q4. I drove the Q8.
You like the Genesis from what I remember.
And I personally like the Genesis a little bit more. But I, I picked up Adam. We went out to dinner and we drove it around a little bit, and he was leaning a little more toward the Audi. So he might end up in the Audi, which is great because I'd like to get his thoughts on not just having the Audi, although he's a fan of Audi, and I know why he's leaning toward it, but also he's another EV newbie. So I kind of want to like get in his head and go, how are you plugging it in? Did you put the charger at your house or the office? And are you plugging it in? And what's your thought on it? And are you going to try to drive it, you know, to Monterey or to Vegas? And like, what are you going to try to do? And he's probably going to not try to do it, but we'll see. You never know. He likes to drive places more than he likes to fly places. So it's not totally out of the question. We're going to Monterey Car Week next week, and he kept trying to get me to drive my truck. He's like, your truck's really nice. We all fit in it. There's so much space. Like, you know, like it's an F-150. So your shoulder room and everything, like, you know, it's got a lot of space. And I go, I don't want to drive it. I was like, I don't want to have to deal with trying to find a charging station. There's so much traffic on the way there and back, and we have to stop. And it's like, I'm not confident enough for that hassle. Let's just go have a good time.
You have to do an impromptu signing every time I have to stop and sit for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours.
You would. So this is what I hit him with. I go, I got something better for you. I call my friends at Toyota. I got us the Toyota Sienna minivan. We're going to minivan it up there. And I love this idea. First of all, we got Sonny, we got Sean with us. We're all going to load up in the minivan and we're going to cruise up there. And he's like, Bruce Canepa is going to be so impressed. I was like, I'm sure he is. But we roll up to Pebble Beach in the Sienna minivan. But I'm totally down with giving it a try. I remember a few years ago, I did this like charity stock car race, and my friend Mark Paul Gosler rolls up in his minivan, and then he gets out, you know, black, like it's cool. He got out, and imagine like this slow motion scene, hit him getting out, clicking the button, and the door slides open, and his kids jump out, and literally like a TV commercial, like three soccer balls come bouncing out of the side door and start rolling away. And he's like, hey, what's up? And I was like, cool minivan, bro. He's like, what are you talking about? This thing's awesome.
Size matters, dude. I mean, yeah. Trick him out pretty damn good.
I don't think he has it anymore. I think he stepped up to like an Escalade or something, but he was rolling in the minivan back then, man. He was loving it. All right. Anyway, next week, we'll be back. As soon as we're done recording, we're going to hit the road and go to Monterey Car Week. So, I believe we're going to grab a couple of interviews from Car Week. We were trying to just go and have a good time and not really do a lot of work. But I got an invitation to sit down with Jim Farley from Ford for a few minutes. So I'd like to record that. And I got an invitation to sit down with Mr. Gordon Murray.
Wow.
And definitely
record that and tell him what a huge fan I am.
I absolutely will. Now we sat down with him last year, and I guess, I don't know. He was interested enough to invite us back. Now I said, hey, we spoke with you last year. How about we sit down with you and Dario Franchini together? And they were like, I don't know if we're going to do that because we don't want to mix Dario with this and he's driving. And then I got another email going, I think Dario would really like to do that. So we're going to see if we're going to be able to coordinate that because he's going to be up there. So Gordon Murray is going to be up there with the T50 and the T33, but I think they're debuting the T33 Spider. And Dario's going to be there driving some of the cars. And I don't know if you remember this, but so at Laguna Seca Sunday, they do some racing, but it usually kind of dies down because people go to Pebble Beach. And so what they've done is on Sunday, to make the track more exciting, they do a hill climb event now, like Goodwood. They bring a bunch of crazy cars, prototypes, and they run Laguna Seca backwards. So it's a hill climb and it's cool as shit.
That's awesome.
And we saw them do like some of that at the Velocity Invitational. So you've got all the vintage cars there, but now you're getting Gordon Murray Automotive T50s. You're getting the Zingers. You're getting a Gunther Works Porsche 911s, and they're all getting on Laguna Seca and doing the hill climb like one at a time, like time trial event, just like Goodwood Festival of Speed. And they're basically doing their own little Goodwood, and they're getting the coolest cars at the track now, which is to see them and hear them, you know, is actually pretty cool. So if you can't make it to Pebble Beach and you want to do something fun at the track, I always recommend just like buy the weekend pass, buy the, you know, the $50 or $100 Saturday, Sunday pass, go on Saturday, see the coolest vintage cars out there racing, from the, you know, from the wooden wheel cars all the way up to the Porsche 935s and Trans Am cars. And now go back on Sunday and catch some of that, you know, backwards hill climb event. And you'll see some of the craziest prototype supercars, vintage supercars. McLaren F1 could be running up there, because I think McLaren did that before. Yeah, some cool stuff. So anyway, looking forward to doing that.
That I'm jealous.
Yeah, that'll be cool to see. So anyway, yeah, we're gonna wrap it up. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.